William Friedkin. Wow. Tracy Letts here for Killer Joe. This is a wild, wacky, crazy, very, very funny movie, but also very violent. You got to tell me, you're a master. You know that. You're looking at me going, what are you saying?
He's talking to William Friedkin, not Tracy Letts. He won the Pulitzer Prize for drama.
Yeah, but,
I never did.
Yeah, but a lot of people have seen your movies. A lot of people have been affected by your movies. You know which one,
okay.
Especially. But, of course, we have Tracy Letts here, who's Pulitzer Prize winner. Mm-hmm. But when you take Tracy's work and you put it through your eyes, your mind, and you put it on the big screen, tell me about that.
It's not a big transformation, because we're on the same page. We view human nature in the same way. We often find extremely dark behavior. We find humor in dark behavior. And I don't judge the characters, and neither does he.
But what makes you want to dive into the hearts of these people? Because they're whacked out people. There's no, you know, we know people like this, but in very small doses. Like, they're not this wild. But on the big screen, when we see them this big, this wild, this crazy, you just go,
I guess I don't think they're that much more whacked out than you are, or than I am, or than Bill is. I guess I think we're all animals, and we're all capable of some pretty animalistic behavior. I think it's one of the reasons we like watching them. We have some genuine love and sympathy for these people in spite of the terrible things they do, reprehensible things they do, some terrible decisions that they make over the course of this thing. But the reason we're willing to follow them through the story is because they're very human, ultimately. And Bill and I love their humanity. I mean, it's one of the things that draws us to the story, and that it's one of the reasons that people have always embraced this play and this story.
You know, to just build on that, you might have read Dostoevsky's novels or the plays of Samuel Beckett. You know, where does that come from, that fascination with the dark side? I don't know where it comes from. Possibly you observe it early in your life. I grew up in a very violent world of Chicago, which I took for granted and didn't think was strange behavior until I left, not Chicago, but where I lived. And I realized that the kind of violence that I would hear in the little apartments all around me, I thought it was normal behavior. There were stabbings, guys beating their wives, you know, all sorts of this kind of behavior. And so I'm just drawn to it because I understand it. I know where it's coming from. Pent-up rage, paranoia, greed, you know, all the human foibles.
Who is the most sympathetic character, if I can ask, in Killer Joe?
Well, as I say, I think they're all sympathetic. I guess I think the two kids, Chris and Dottie, maybe in equal measure are sympathetic, although Chris is certainly making some bad decisions. But I have more sympathy for them, perhaps, because they are products of their environment. They are, as kids are, they can only do so much with the information, the spiritual food that they've been given. And so when we see Chris making bad decisions, I think we understand why he's making those bad decisions. I mean, what other decisions might he make in the environment in which he's grown up? I mean, Billy does a great job of showing this world as not only very dark, but explosive, and just some of the imagery of trash cans on fire and rain-slicked streets and barking dogs. I mean, it really does look like the end of the world that these people are operating in. But Chris and the simple answer to your question is Chris and Dottie. I love the kids because I think if they had better information, better input, then they might have made some better decisions. Okay. Chris in particular.
Matthew McConaughey as Killer Joe. Standout performance.
Thank you. I'll tell him you said that.
How much is that your direction, or how much is that him reacting to the character?
Oh, it's all my direction. He'd have fallen on his ass if I didn't tell him what to do. He came to me. He understood. An agent got the script to him with a sort of, you don't really want to do this, do you? And he read it. he had grown up in the place where Tracy sets the screenplay.
Texas, yeah.
That part of Texas and the Texas-Oklahoma border. And he grew up in a very violent household where his mother tried to stab his father. I mean, he saw with scissors. Yeah. He saw that part of life. He understood it. He wanted to act. This was going to give him a chance to act on something quite different than the way he's usually cast. When I met with him and talked to him, I realized that he was on the same page with Tracy and me. He understood these people, and he talked the language. His accent is authentic, and his behavior is authentic. I didn't give him a lot of direction at all. He would do something, and he'd look at me, and I would just nod or wink. Occasionally, I might suggest something, but I didn't direct him much at all, to be honest. I just cast him. And that's, that's sort of 90% of how a movie is realized. If it's written well and cast right, then anybody can direct this stuff, really.
Well,
no, it would be different. It might not be as good
as
I did. There'd be some that would do it better. I have no doubt of that. It's the writing it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't reach into myself, though I say I understand these characters. I couldn't write it, and I couldn't act it. McConaughey is a fine actor who's known mostly as a movie star.
Tracy touched on the kids, played by Juno Temple and Emile Hirsch, but the parents, Thomas Hayden Church and Gina Gershon, again, getting them to play their roles, which are funny, tragic at the same time.
Did you ever see a television series called The Honeymooners?
Oh, yes.
Very popular situation comedy. They used to argue and fight all the time. And the keynote line from that is where the Gleason character would say, to his wife, "To the moon, Alice, to the moon!" And he'd wave his fist at her. And, the whole thing is bickering between this husband and wife. This is back in the 1950s and 60s. And people laughed at it and loved it because it was true. You know, it seemed like their own lives. And I suspect a lot of people will recognize themselves in Killer Joe and not, necessarily like that.
Yeah.
But they would have to say, I've seen this or I've experienced this. And, it's no different than The Honeymooners. Sometimes it's good to suggest it. Sometimes it must be shown to some extent.
I can't leave William Friedkin without asking you about The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
So many years afterwards, it's still revered as perhaps the scariest movie of all time, just because of the way it's done, not because of what it shows. All the crazy stuff that we now take for granted in horror movies. Your reflection on that.
The Exorcist was always intended by the writer and myself as a film about the mystery of faith. That's it. We never set out to make it a horror film. We knew it would be disturbing because it was disturbing to us, but it was fascinating as well. The Exorcist disturbs people because it makes them think about the transcendent. And many of us don't want to think about the transcendent. We're more comfortable without it. And when you deal with the natural and the supernatural in the same frame, the audience will always be more drawn to the supernatural.
In a way, Killer Joe also is transcendent because it goes from the natural to the extra natural because it's, again, I think, amplified, and they go farther than most people do.
The basis of drama is conflict, and the natural extension of conflict is ultimately violence. That's what people resort to in order to resolve their conflict. So Killer Joe is human behavior taken to its extreme, but my hope is that it's recognizably human.
And it is. Tracy Letts, the writer, William Friedkin, the director of Killer Joe. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for great questions, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.